Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
If you have your copy of God's Word, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 24, and pray that you'll make yourself available to the stuff on the table. If we can help you anyway as a ministry, we'd love to. We'd count it a privilege. We want to run the race with you. And we've learned some things in 7 years. Part of what I've learned comes from this passage. The 8 things I want to give you is a prayer strategy for your men, not just you personally, but the 8 things you can do as a church and believe God for, and you'll be overwhelmed at what God does as it all comes alive. So if you're ready for God's word again tonight, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Bible says this in Colossians 1, verse number 24. Hang with me. I'm going to read all the way down to chapter 2, verse number 10 for a reason, because I want to make 3 statements out of chapter 2, verse 10, and then give you 8 things that I think are a prayer strategy. I pray an overwhelming burden would rest on you, and we'd leave here tonight burdened and broken for a movement of men that changes our lives personally, affects our families practically, and changes the church powerfully for the glory of God. Is that fair?
Amen.
Amen. Bible says this, verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which has been given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, notice this right here, warning every man. We're warning every man and teaching every man that we might present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. There's a phrase there in verse 28, teaching every man in all wisdom. Thank God that comes from heaven. Amen. Looking at life and living life from God's perspective and point of view. Every man needs to know what that looks like and feels like. Being able to obey God and live out in his wisdom. So him we preach, we warn every man, we teach every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's discipleship. That's ministry to men. That's the call on men's lives, to be faithful, godly men. And we see that especially in the text. And notice what verse 29 says. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. As you think about verse 29 here, the theme of the conference is renovate. You can't just go in there and look at a room you want to renovate, right? If you want to change the room, there's some work to do. There's some labor to do. And some of us hate renovations. You know why? Because it messes everything up. It gets all through the house. We track it all through the house. We have work to do and more work to do because of the work we're doing. And I think about this statement here that Paul makes. He's striving. He's got this privilege to work, and he's doing everything he can because of what God's doing inside of him. And it's getting out of his own life and touching others around him. Verse number 1 says in Colossians chapter 2, it says, for I want you to know what a great conflict to have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here's a key verse, verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I'm absent in the flesh, yet now I'm with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and your steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, what's he saying here? Obey him. So walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. I thank God for the preaching of the Word of God I've heard over the last 25 years. Praise God for the preaching of the Word of God. But listen to me. Praise God for the experience of living what I've heard preached. Thank God that God spoke to me and I responded to what he said, and it's changed my life. There are many in this room tonight that are hearing God speak every single week, and you're just like you were when you came in here. You'll leave the same way. God wants to change your life and help you walk in that truth that he's given the preacher to preach for the glory of God and for you, even those around you. God's got something to say. So let's do what he says. That's what he expects. Do we expect to do what he's asking us to do. Do we have an ever eager hear or eager hearing of an ear to do what God says? We're rooted in him, built up in him, and established in the faith as we've been taught. And thank God he's taught us something and we're experiencing it. He says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. That's the only way. You're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Verse number 8, three statements about manhood today that drives me to my knees to think about the 8 things I want to share with you, okay? They're just 8 words I'll give you, some teaching points in between there. Some will last longer than others. And by the way, it'll take you longer to process what I've got to say, what Pastor Johnny's got to say, and other men got to say in different breakouts, than it will be for us to teach it. The question is, will you get on the other side of what you hear and experience what God wants you to experience and live it for the rest of your life? What an honor that would be. So 3 things real quick. Manhood today is being spoiled. You can take this at the top of your page. It's not even on your notes. But manhood today is being spoiled. The word cheat there is used in verse number 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you. That's the word for spoil. Anybody here drink any milk that's been spoiled lately? You wouldn't drink it. You'd smell it. You know you shouldn't drink it, right? So you've been, I think manhood today has been spoiled. And by the way, I heard this the other day by Kelvin Cochran, who's a part of our teaching team in other places. And Kelvin Cochran was a former Atlanta fire chief and a great man of God. And he said that they've studied and researched and found out that today, in today's culture, there are 71 different gender identities. 71. That's 69 too many. Amen. Amen. And as we think about where we are, manhood today has been spoiled. And guess what? It's only going to get worse unless men of God like us respond to what God says for us to do and live on the other side of this truth and take other men with us. The second thing is this. Manhood today has been secularized. Secular culture is doing everything it can to make manhood what it wants to be. And as a result of that, they've given us a title today, and it's called toxic masculinity. It's toxic. And anything that's not born of God will be toxic. I don't care if you put male or female, this family, that family. Like Tony Nolan says, we all come from a bad neighborhood. It's called earth, and we've been born under this curse, the sin-sick world that we live in today. So may God help us realize that if we're not careful with how we live in this day and time of day, we're going to look much like the world rather than the Word of God. And that's why he says what he says at the end of verse number 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you and spoil you through philosophy and empty deceit. It doesn't pay off. That manhood you're buying into by somebody else's definition never pays off. It never pays off. It never pays off. Then he makes this, I think, a riveting statement that I pray all of us feel tonight. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and the sadness of manhood today, not according to Christ. There's a stat card on your table. I hope you take it with you as a prayer card that defines manhood in the average American church. It don't look pretty. It's nauseating. It ought to get our attention. And I pray that it does. And if there's anything we can do to help you and your church make men a priority in your disciple-making strategy, we have a team of men that's ready, and we're doing everything we can to take advantage of the opportunity in our day and time, because we want to see all this change for God's glory. What are 8 things you and I can do? What are 8 things we can pray about as we think about dealing with manhood today? Number 1, we need to pray for God to move. Movement. God must move. Amen? God's got to move. In other words, as God begins to speak to you, as we see from this text here and other passage in Scripture, it means go be the man God made you to be and take other men with you. Go be the man God made you to be and take other men with you. I love coming to this conference. I've been coming to it for nearly 20 years now. It's been awesome to be able to bring men as a pastor in the 2 churches I pastored. It's been awesome to attend here and now bring my sons to the same conference and hear biblical preaching from a man of God and then have the privilege to live out a lot of the truth I've heard over the years. I go back and think about the messages I've heard, not only the key sessions that we hear in the keynote sessions, but the breakout sessions where I took away practical things as a man, as a young husband, as a young father, and even as a pastor to live out and embrace and experience. And I thank God I was there. And I think about sometimes, man, what would have happened had I not been there? What would have happened had I not heard that truth? Where would I be today? And then some of us, we come sometimes and we hear the truth. We've got the answer, and many of us just stay like we are. We don't move with God. God's moving. Move with Him. God wants to continue to move. I love Titus 1, verse number 5. It's really the theme of our ministry, where Titus is renovating. He's been asked by his leader to renovate some stuff, set in order things that are lacking, and raise up elders in every city. In other words, straighten out some stuff. Get some stuff corrected. We've got work to do here in Titus 1, verse number 5. And then he says, at the same time, raise up elders in every city. Don't just do it here. There's other places to go. You go to other places. You visit other cities. Do it where you go. And I thank God, as a man of God, my worship never ends, or at least it shouldn't, right? I don't want to quench the spirit. I think no matter where I go, I'm an attitude of worship, submitted to God to be what God wants me to be, because I need to be. Because if I'm not worshiping God, there's no telling where I'll end up and where you'll end up. So renovate means to repair. It means to restore. It means to revamp, remodel, fix up. In other words, as Pastor Johnny said, get back to the foundation of how God designed it. And that's the best thing you and I can do, is to look at God's design for God's glory. So just two statements real quick, okay? Number one, the first step in gaining momentum is taking the first step. Now, I'm spelling the word momentum with each teaching point, okay? So that's easier for some of you now. You go back down, oh, that's how it works out. Yeah, eight things that I can remember, pray through for God to help me. And by the way, you can probably go through the same thing and maybe change the words as God keeps working in your heart. And I pray God does that. So get to work, number two, on being the man God wants you to be. Now, this is not in your notes. It's just some thoughts I've got I don't want to give you. And we'll keep moving along this thing because I don't want to keep you here all night. But number two, it really means this: to get to work being the man God wants you to be. Get to work in your relationship with God. Get to work in your relationship with your wife, listen to me, or your future wife. Get to work in your relationship with your children or your future children. Get to work and do what you need to do in these areas. Find some other man. Get to work together. Go be the man God wants you to be, and take other men with you. As you do this together, as the Word teaches, you'll be amazed at what God does as you respond to Him, and He responds to your obedience. May God continue to help us be what He needs us to be with our relationship with Him, with our relationship with our family. And then I pray in Jesus' name that the church would get a hold of its men, and that the men in the churches would get a hold of their churches and be what God wants them to be. If this happens, you'll be amazed at how God changes the world. How do I know that? I can read through the Word of God and see how God got a hold of some men and some other men and some other men, and all of a sudden the city changes, and all of a sudden the community changes, all of a sudden the country changes, all of a sudden the world changes. Jesus got a hold of about 12 men, and guess what? They changed the world and are still changing the world. Amen? That's what we ought to be a part of. That's what God's called us to do. What greater call is that to be a part of? And we only connect with that as we connect with Almighty God and His design in us as men and families and churches for God's glory. So remember this: God always makes the first move. Always. Always, always, always makes the first move. That's who He is. So let Him move in your life tonight and watch what He does. Number two, ownership. Ownership. If you don't own your manhood, Satan is sure to see that someone or something will. Own it. Your mama wants it. Amen? Amen? She wants it. Your wife wants it. Amen? She needs to know what it looks like from God's perspective. Because if we look early on in Scripture, Eve didn't know what it looked like. She got outside of God's design and plan and brought her husband with her, and his passivity played the part of what ruined sin in the world today. Amen? So many of us are letting that happen because our wives own our manhood and we don't. Pornography will own your manhood. Your children will own your manhood. The culture will own your manhood, and you'll be spoiled, secularized, and it'll be a sad state of manhood in your current location, wherever you live at. That's not God's design. Never was God's intent. He didn't create a man to live like pure hell. He created a man to connect with Himself through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, from the Word of God and the Spirit of God, to see what God does in that and changes lives in the midst of your life and all around you. Thank God, because men own who they are in their relationship with God, it can change history.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of Inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.